34th graduating class, the class of 2013. What a great year it's been. And you may be seated. Ms. Fern, if you'll come forward.
Let's bow in prayer, please. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for these mighty men and women who are about to embark on the next course of their journey leading toward the destiny that you have ordained for each one. Lord, we are confident that because they are leaving Calvary Christian Academy with your word embedded in their hearts and your power at work in them by your Holy Spirit, that they will impact this nation for your honor and your glory. Father, we ask that you bless them and keep them, that you make your face shine upon them, that you be gracious to them, that you lift up your countenance upon them and give them your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
This time I'm going to ask Coach Gober to come forward.
Every year, the boys' athletic department gives an award which was for years called the Coach's Award. When a couple of brothers went through our program several years ago, they were only about 18 months apart. They were in the same grade, and they were here for 4 years, made really good grades, had tremendous work ethic, but the way they handled themselves was so much fun to be around in adversity and in good times that we named this award after them. They were the St. Marie Brothers. And so for years, this was known as the St. Marie Award. And then a few years later, a young man came through here whose parents I adore, and he handled himself in such a way that we added his initials to it. So it officially is the KD St. Marie Award. And it basically stands for not the most athletic, not the most successful person, but for who Coach Smith and I believe illustrated some of the qualities. This person doesn't necessarily, or the recipient every year doesn't necessarily mean that we think that they're walking on water, but they, with us, showed us a lot of those qualities. This year's recipient had crazy high hopes, had been working hard for several years of playing past high school, and he was our quarterback and played eight quarters and a little bit of change after that, and got injured in a season-ending injury to his thumb. The reason he's receiving this award tonight, because there were several others that were right there with him in illustrating qualities that we're proud of. But we want to give this award tonight to Sam Platowski for the way he reacted to that and the way he handled himself and being one of the best teammates that we've seen in a while. This year's KD St. Marie Award goes to Sam Platowski.
It's in here. I'm going to get to the plaque soon. Okay, I'm going to plaque this week. All right. God bless.
Wang Nguyen, would you come forward?
I would like to thank Pastor Nico, faculty, staff, family, and friends for letting me speak on our graduation today. It is an honor to be able to participate in such a great enterprise of Christian education. We all know that high school graduation is a milestone of our life. After today, we leave the protection of our family, the communication of friend, classmate, teacher. We step out there to the world, no longer living in the bubble of perfection. Obviously, life won't turn out the way you want it to be, but it's always sloppy and ambiguous. Yeah. But however, we must accept the finished disappointment, but never lose the infinite hope. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. Is it the courage to continue that counts? Tonight, I'm not going to stand here and tell you what you should or should not do, because basically we are on the same immature in some way. But I would love to share to you some of my own experience as an international student. Like, rather than being successful, I would love to be a man of value. You know, like, you need a personality to distinguish yourself in the world of 7 billion people, and don't let them change you. And like, can you two kind of perfume at the same time? You may think like, why not? Like, it's the same thing. But actually, don't you find it's agonizing when you love both of them at the same, but you cannot choose which one to use? And some people suggest that you can use that every 2 days by turn. Actually, you cannot, because sooner or later, you will lose your own sense. So don't try to be another one, because you are unique just the way you are. I know that we will soon discover our destiny according to Jeremiah 29:11. We have a future and a hope. And let me tell you about that. To all my fellow graduates, boring is one thing that we definitely are not. Congratulations.
I'm very proud of Miss Nguyen. She came over here from another country. English is not her first language. She made the second highest grades in her class. And she blew the top off of her SAT. And I'm proud of her. And so she wanted to give that speech tonight. And I know you're proud of her too.
Outside, 'cause it's been snowing all night. It's been snowing all night. Yeah, it kept falling when you closed your eyes. It's been snowing all night. I don't know what your plans were today, but I think they can wait, 'cause we don't get many moments like this. So let's plan our escape, 'cause it's been snowing all night. Yeah, it's been snowing all night. It kept falling when you closed your eyes. it's been snowing all night. Store.
Courtney.
Good evening. Dear family, friends, and faculty, I am honored to address you on behalf of the senior class, graduating class of 2013. For these next few moments, I would like to provide a glimpse into our last year together as a class, but hopefully not as a family. When we came to Calvary for our last first day as students, let's just say we were excited as we anticipated Mr. Tidwell's morning speech about the locker rooms for the last time. We would experience our last volleyball game, our last football game, and our last homecoming. The last time we could sweet talk our teachers into a free day. The joys of basketball, baseball, softball, and track are now over, and it's time for us, as the new alumni of CCA, to take what we have learned and fulfill the call that God has placed on each and every one of our lives. In these short 13 years of attending this wonderful school, I have committed many important things to memory. I have officially memorized the lunch menu. Mondays and Tuesdays are normally a surprise, and then every Wednesday we have the honorary pizza. And of course, on Thursdays, we come to the prize, the mother of all lunches, the old reliable chicken fried steak. But that's not the only thing I've committed to memory. I have also memorized our mission statement. Calvary seeks to equip students spiritually and academically to discover and achieve their destiny. Teachers and families, on behalf of the senior class, we would like to thank you for the sacrifices that you have all made for us and for the school. You may think that your contributions go unnoticed, but as a student body, we truly thank you. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for the tremendous trust in Calvary that it took to send all of my brothers and now me to this great school. For your sacrifice, I am truly thankful. Pastor Bob, I would like to also thank you for hearing from God and being sensitive to his prompting. Without your willingness to obey him, our school would not be here tonight. Our class would like to give a special thanks to all of the teachers that have invested so much into our arrival at this moment. Ms. Smith, thank you for revealing the cold, hard fact that a student cannot be successful without reading. Ms. Patton, thank you for making us biblically bilingual. You're awesome. Ms. Andrade, thank you for loving us in third grade and even now, and thank you for always challenging us to look at our hearts. And Mr. D, thank you for always keeping our attention with your all too realistic lessons in history. Thank you, Ms. Brewton, for informing us of how the world really works and always being willing to help, even if we don't get it for the third time. I would need much more time to thank each of you individually. We would also like to give a special thanks to our coaches for always seeing our potential and helping us to learn that what we think is the best for our ego is not always the best for the team. Thank you, Mr. Tidwell, for all of your random yet so enlightening facts about people less fortunate than us. And thank you for being an inspiration for all of us and showing us how to have a servant's heart and the heart for people. And last but not least, thank you, Ms. Tidwell, for showing us a true example of being a leader and a living sacrifice for God. Thank you for loving each and every one of us, even when it may not have been easy. As a senior class, we will never forget the chapels that we were so blessed to attend and the unity that it brought when we all came together as students and faculty, as one body, to worship our Lord and his precious son, Jesus. I feel that spiritually as a class, we all have some sort of foundation in our faith, a foundation that we can choose to build on or let crack under pressure. Seniors, as we move forward into this next chapter of our lives, Calvary has given us the tools, the word of God, and the sensitivity to his spirit to have the ability to discern between right and wrong. We cannot be easily swayed by the words of our new professors or students who try to question the reality of our God as we go off to college or any other stage of life that we venture to. With the teaching and spiritual training that we have received, we have no excuse. I would like to put this into perspective. In just one school year at Calvary, a student spends about 250 hours in chapel and Bible classes. Within that amount of time, we should have at least a tiny glimpse of who God is. I did a little research on how many credit hours are required to obtain a master's degree in theology, and the research showed that it took a minimum of 480 hours. Now, I also calculated with all of my 12 years of Bible classes and chapels that I have about 3,000 hours under my belt. My point is, with all that Calvary has offered to us and poured into us, we should be close to or already masters in Jesus. We should be so steadfast in our faith that if anyone tries to convince us otherwise, we still know the truth and can use that as an opportunity to minister and share that truth that we have with them. As I was preparing to speak with you, I was talking with my dad about all the things that I wanted to say. He told me that this time is sometimes perceived as a sad time, a time of goodbyes and endings. The reality is, this is a time of rejoicing. As seniors, we should not allow ourselves to become gloomy or depressed, but we should press on towards our goal of fulfilling the call that God has placed on our lives. Finally, new alumni of CCA and all of our fellow students, families, faculty, and friends, what I would like to leave you with tonight are the wise words of the well-renowned philosopher, Mr. D, the chief end of man, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And remember, heart to God, hand to man, love God, love people, serve God, serve people, real relationships, real results, faith, works, and a future and a hope. Thank you.
It's a rare year that our valedictorian is not someone that we've raised in our ranks, and she's one that we've raised at our school. She's been here all of her academic life, and we're very proud of Courtney. We're proud of all of our graduates tonight. I wanted to give an outstanding achievement award tonight. I don't give a principal's award every year, administrator's award every year, but I wanted to give one this year because we have a wonderful student here who's worked very hard and who's also been at this school all of her academic life. And that's Miss Faith Elizabeth Dickerson. I want to give her an award tonight. If you'll come forward. The last Dickerson at our school. She's accomplished a lot, and we're proud of her as well. Tonight, it's my honor to introduce to you Pastor Nichols. Pastor Nichols will be introducing to you our illustrious speaker tonight. I want to thank you personally again for coming and bringing your lovely wife. Pastor is starting his 50th year at the church, so I guess we'll let him stay. He's been here, I think he's proven himself, right? After 50 years, don't you think we need to celebrate for him? That's quite an accomplishment, isn't it? And I am so blessed to have called him pastor for the last almost 32 years now I've been here. And I've been blessed to be able to call him pastor. Everything I know about prayer, when I came here, I thought I knew how to pray until I met Mrs. Nichols. She taught me so much about prayer and intercession. And if I hadn't have had their example over the years, I would have fainted when my strength was small. I have been taught and led by some of the finest people I've ever known, and that's the Nichols. Pastor has been over the school and helped me and fought for the school for so many years. When other schools have struggled, our school has maintained because of his leadership and his kindness. We currently have so many students in our high school that have stayed with us, and we're so proud of them. And one of the reasons they've stayed with us is because they know we're here to stay, and they know we're here for us because they feel safe and they feel secure because of the leadership that we've had all these years. I want you to join me as we welcome Pastor Robert B. Nichols to this pulpit this afternoon, this evening.
Bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I want to just, from the depth of my heart, say thank you to God Almighty and to His Son, Jesus Christ, and the blessed Holy Spirit for being able to have a school for these 34 years. Everything on this 17 and a half acres is a miracle of God. And of course, most of you know the story. I don't think Moses could ever forget crossing the Red Sea, or Daniel the lion's den, or the Hebrew children the burning fire furnace. And I don't think we'll ever be able to forget how, when we started with nothing at one time, and then it looked like we had come to that point again in 2000, the year 2000, when every statistic said we should have gone under, God helped us to go over. And as the news media just kept coming, I can't blame it on myself. I just have to say thank God for the courage and the strength of the Holy Spirit. We said it over and over and over again with heartfelt assurance that, as with Job, we would come out with twice as much. And I'm here to tell you tonight that we've not only come out with twice as much, we've come out with right at three times as much as we had before the storm, the tornado of the year 2000. When it looks like you're going to have to shut it down, everything that you have, your Christian school, your Bible school, now we have Bible college status for Bible college, and all the other wonderful things that God's doing on this property, when it looks like it's all come to an end, you've only just begun if God is your partner. So I give God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And I want to say thank you to Sue Tidwell. I'm trying to think who said it first and when I heard it many years ago, that ultimately everything rises or falls on leadership. And I've had some leadership that taught me some new lessons in prayer, believe me. But I tell you, when you work with people that have faith in God and they know that nothing is impossible with God, you're so blessed, whether it's in the secular world or in a church. And I would like to just express my appreciation, Bishop Dickerson, to you and your wife. You people have been such a blessing to this school, you and your church. Thank you for the love and the faith. And every time I see you, you're encouraging us. And God bless you. You're a mighty man of God. I feel very fortunate. God helped us. We reached the point where we had to have a shoulder surgery. And when did that happen? 2 weeks ago. I was back in the pulpit Sunday after being out a couple of Sundays. And the main thing that I had in mind, I did not want to miss this graduation time. And finally, the doctor said, please give me something to work with. So I said, okay, we'll do it. And to God be the glory, God's giving us really a supernatural recovery, and for that I'm very grateful. Tonight we are blessed again to have with us a speaker who has been with us before. Our speaker tonight is Dr. Kermit S. Bridges, who served as president of Southwestern and has served as president of Southwestern Assemblies of God University, lovingly called SAGU, since 2000. Since that time, university enrollment has increased by 21%, exceeding 2,000 students. Additionally, one-third of the university's 60 undergraduate and graduate academic offerings have been added during his tenure. Dr. Bridges has directed a significant expansion of new facilities in over half of the university's under-roof square feet construction since the year 2000. Major projects include Phase 2 of the Schaefer Center, 2002, the Teeter Residential Hall, 2005, Bridges Residential Hall, 2006, and Garrison Wellness Center, 2009. The most exciting project to date has been the 22,080,000 square feet Hagee Communication Center during fall of 2013. And just a little bit remains to be done, and they'll be full swing about October, November. Dr. Bridges has served as Vice President for University Advancement from 1994 to 1999, and prior to coming to Southwestern Assemblies of God University, filled various pastoral assignments in Texas and Missouri. He grew up in Waxahachie, Texas, and graduated from Southwestern in 1982. He later attended and received graduate degrees from Assemblies of God Theological Seminary, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Fuller Theological Seminary, where he was awarded a Doctor of Ministry degree. His doctoral program focused on nonprofit leadership and strategic planning. Dr. Bridges' wife, Jan, is from Minneapolis, Minnesota. She's been a tremendous asset to the school, to the ministry, and is so active in every phase of that great university. The Bridges have two sons, James, a sophomore at SAGU, and Forrest, a junior at Waxahachie High School. The thing that means a lot to me is that this is one of the most genuine men I have ever met in my life. His father and I started preaching together when we were students there in the school. And then to see his son come along, and the school has literally doubled. Construction has doubled. I mean, it has been a supernatural time, and I see the way that God has used this man. I love people of faith, because they just don't believe it can't be done. Seemed like when we started in 1964, everywhere we turned, someone said it couldn't be done. But every step of the journey, we have proved over and over again that if God be for us, who can be against us? If there was ever an hour when Christian universities and Christian schools are needed, it's now. Our nation has such severe problems because we have so many politicians and leaders in business who have not been taught the ways of God. They are not born again. They don't know biblical world Christian values. God bless you, my dear brother, as you continue your great work. And I say to Sue Tidwell, God bless you for being such a steady person. There were two or three times in our beginning when I was ready to throw in the towel, I said, where is leadership that you can count on and trust? And I remember the day that she came into the office. She was serving, I believe, I don't know, a second or third grade teacher. And she said, Pastor Nichols, we need someone to lead the school. I'd like to do that. And I said, well, do you think that you can do it? She said, I know I can do it with the help of God. And someone said, what about women? I said, there's nothing as strong as a woman with a made-up mind. I'm going to say, when women know Jesus, they are something else. And I watch this woman. She lives, thinks, breathes, sleeps, prays, gives, and has given her life to Christian education. What a blessing she is. So, Dr. Bridges, we are so honored to have you to come again tonight. Thank you for maintaining your faith in God and come and share some things with us from your heart. Whatever God lays on you. Let's give him a good hand clap of welcome, sir. Get that all out of your way, man.
Well, good evening. Good evening. I tell you, it is always a pleasure to be here at this great church with this wonderful pastor, and how special to be here for the Calvary Christian School commencement. This is not my first commencement, and I always enjoy coming back. And I tell you what, if you can get warm fuzzies, I know you moms and dads out there got more warm fuzzies. You watched that video display just a few moments ago. But I want you to know, anybody with a heart that would sit there and watch such a beautiful group of young people recognized tonight, graduates, and I tell you what, looking for Courtney. I tell you what, I don't need to be up here. That gal did it all, didn't she? What an outstanding example of what this school really stands for. Congratulations, class of 2013. Jan and I are so appreciative of the chance to be here. Thank you, Pastor Nichols and Joy, and of course also Sue Tidwell for your gracious invitation. At Southwestern, we're proud that Bob Nichols is one of our alumni. There's no doubt about that. And he's been a rock through the years, proclaiming the gospel, leading this church in Fort Worth, touching this city, touching the world through the various ministries and outreaches. And moms and dads, grandparents and loved ones, I know you are grateful for this commitment to this school. 34 years, what a heritage. And I would join in also saying, Calvary Academy administration, faculty, and staff, we thank you for your dedication. We thank you for your commitment to these young people. We thank you for believing in Christian education. We've been grateful to have a number of the Calvary graduates attend Southwestern, and we know from firsthand experience that they are prepared here to succeed at the college level. You know, graduating from high school is a worthy accomplishment, graduates. It's appropriate that we take the time this evening to recognize you. Now, speaking of time, a few minutes ago, Mrs. Tidwell made it perfectly clear that if I spoke longer than 20 minutes, it would be cruel and unusual punishment. She went on to say that if I go 30 minutes, then armed personnel will mount this platform and physically remove me from the premises. But if I go approximately 15 minutes, they'll buy me dinner. And that's all the incentive I need. So let's move along. You know, let's be honest. In most cases, a guest speaker at commencement is a lot like the Star Spangled Banner at a sporting event. You didn't go there to hear the song. You appreciate it when you get there. And I doubt that there's anybody here that showed up to hear Kermit Bridges. I know that's not the case. And yet, you're probably not going to remember anything I say in the days to come. I hope, graduates, I will share something that will inspire you in the short run. But we know how our memories go. It's only if I do something really stupid tonight, and I will do my best not to do that, and especially like Ms. Tibbo made clear, don't go over 15 minutes. Graduation events are occurring all over the nation, but 22% of eligible high school graduates will not be receiving a diploma this season. Graduates are here tonight as a result of good choices that they have made over the course of the last 12 years, and so we do congratulate you. Thanks for staying the course. Way to hang in there. The reality is, up until now, you've benefited from a network of family and friends who've been there guiding you, helping you to make the right choices. And I realize that in some instances, they made you make the right choice. But beginning this evening and in the days to come, you're going to more and more be shouldering the responsibility to make the choices that are ultimately going to determine whether you are a success or a failure. And when I talk about failure, let me clarify. I'm talking about someone who chooses to not develop their God-given talents. So when I talk about someone who is a success, I'm not talking about success in the eyes of this world. I'm talking about success in terms of someone who is determined to allow God to develop them and use them to reach their potential for Him. And achieving a God-honoring level of success boils down to one word. And that difference-making word is excellence. Webster's Dictionary defines excellence as outstandingly good, of exceptional merit, first class, superior. The Apostle Paul prayed for the people in the churches to approve the things that are excellent. Paul went on to say that our entire thought process should be focused on that which is excellent. And so what Paul was saying is we need to pursue it. We need to champion it. We need to live it. We need to choose it. We need to think about it. Do you remember this verse? You probably memorized it at some point. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any, here's this word again, excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. But rather than pursue excellence, there are too many in our world that are willing to settle for average, accept mediocrity, just get by. But God intends, graduate, for your life to be outstandingly good, to be of exceptional merit. Have you ever heard the term non-negotiable? Tonight I want to talk to you about some non-negotiables. It usually refers to the terms of a contract or an agreement. You can't change it. You can't debate it. You either accept the terms, the non-negotiable terms, or the contract is null and void. Are we familiar with what non-negotiable means? In the following minutes, I'm going to share four non-negotiables to living a life of excellence. If you disregard one or more of these non-negotiables, you will likely fail to reach your God-given potential. But if you practice them, and if you prayerfully commit yourself to God's will, then you are going to be amazed at what God will do through your life. The first non-negotiable is personal responsibility. It is human nature to fail to take responsibility, to blame situations, to blame other people for the circumstances of our own life. No situation or person, I want you to hear this, no situation or person will ever prevent you from achieving a life of excellence. No situation, no person will ever stop me from achieving a life of excellence. If we don't get there, it won't be because of anybody else's fault. It's my fault. It's your fault. The only thing that can stop us is ourselves. The last time I spoke at Calvary, I mentioned two words used by those who make excuses. If only. If only I'd come from a well-to-do family. If only I had a more loving family. You know, if only I got to know the right people. If only I was a better athlete. If only I was more smart or intelligent. If only I had more gifts or talents. If only I had gotten that scholarship. If only I'd been accepted to that school. All those if onlys don't really matter. That's not going to be the difference maker in living a life of excellence. So don't get sidetracked comparing yourself to other people or their circumstances. Faithfully develop your own gifts and talents and watch how God is going to use you. I love this quote. God don't make junk, and he's never been guilty of sponsoring a flop. There are no flops in this graduating class. I want to make that perfectly clear. Responsibility is a non-negotiable for a life of excellence. A second non-negotiable is something that I would just call prioritization. A life of excellence is determined by right priorities and our commitment to those priorities. When we embrace God-honoring priorities, it's going to change a lot of things about our life. It's going to change the time we give to daily devotions. It's going to change the amount of time we give to ministry involvement. It will change the time we give to entertainment. It'll change the content that we watch. It will change the content that we're willing to listen to. It changes the websites we visit. It changes our language. It changes the way we relate to the opposite sex. It changes friends we choose to hang with. The problem is not that we don't know the priorities for living a life of excellence. The problem is our willingness to prioritize, to obey, and to follow through with those priorities. Because many end up putting off till tomorrow what we should be prioritizing and obeying today. We overestimate tomorrow and we underestimate today. It's almost as if we think tomorrow is going to have 26 hours instead of 24 hours. But those who put off till tomorrow will live to regret it. Today is what matters. Don't wait until tomorrow to pursue a life of excellence. Prioritizing is a non-negotiable for a life of excellence. A third non-negotiable is a positive attitude. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. I understand that. But that's the thing about life. It's very, very straightforward and very, very simple when you get right down to it. Any person wishing to succeed in life must have the ability to work with people and to see people and situations in a positive way. A positive person is likable. A negative person is a grump. I know that doesn't sound very academic, but that's really where it comes down to. Do you know any grumps? I'm talking about legitimate, bona fide grumps. The kind who frown, the kind who whine, the kind who mumble incessantly. They seem to have a gray cloud over their head all day long. In fact, it'll be 6 a.m. in the morning. They already know it is going to be a lousy day. They're not very fun to be with, are they? Are there any in this sanctuary, God forbid? Are there? Are they seated next to you? Now, here's what I want to know. Now, be careful. No finger pointing here, okay? But if your neighbor is sitting real rigid right now, looking straight forward, and not even daring to make eye contact with you, I can tell you one of two things are happening. They either think you're a grump, or they have just experienced the sad, sad revelation that they are a grump. Now, maybe what we need to do right now is, okay, let's all bow our heads, let's close our eyes. And those seeking to communicate with me can kind of raise your head, make eye contact. No, we won't go that far. The bottom line is there's just no excuse for being a grump. Positive people are confident. Negative people are doubters. Positive people are persistent. Negative people are quitters. Positive people are solution-oriented. And negative people are problem-conscious. They're looking at the same exact situation. They're facing the same circumstances. But it is all in the perspective that they give to the situation. Positive people are self-starters. Negative people are lazy. Graduate, how do your friends describe you? This is why attitude is such a difference maker when it comes to a life of excellence. Did you know that 1 degree of Fahrenheit between 211 and 212 degrees makes a significant difference? Do you know what that 1 degree Fahrenheit difference makes? It makes steam. Steam can power a locomotive that can pull a train. That's what 1 degree of difference. In my experience, those who are willing to work just a little harder to give that proverbial one extra degree, that additional measure of effort, are those whose lives stand out in excellence. It's been said that the difference between an amateur and a pro is about 5 minutes more. About 5 minutes more working toward your goal. If you're an athlete, it's a few more reps. It's a few more pounds on the bar. It's a few more sprints. It's a few more receptions. If you're a scholar, it's a few more pages. It's a few more sources. It's a chapter here. It's a book there. It's an afternoon spin and study. It's an evening. Occasionally, it is an all-nighter, but you're willing to do what it takes to make it happen. For the musician, it's a few more minutes in practice. It's a few more measures, a few more charts, one more rehearsal. What is the key to giving one more degree or 5 minutes more of effort? I think it's very simple. It's attitude. And a positive attitude is non-negotiable for a life of excellence. And I tell you what, if there is any group of people that should be characterized by positive attitudes, it's men and women who have been saved and transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ, whose Savior is our God. We are the ones of all people that should have those attitudes. A final non-negotiable is overcoming adversity. Most of you will be choosing to attend college this fall. Yet statistically, 58% of you will not complete, only 58% of you will complete a bachelor's degree within 6 years. That means that 4 out of every 10 college freshmen will bail for some reason in the course of the next 6 years. Now, a small number of those reasons will be legitimate, but most will bail because of their failure to overcome adversity. The same challenge will face those of us who enter into the workforce or enter a trade. You're going to face obstacles. You're going to be tempted to quit because maybe you come up against a boss that you think is unfair, or because you get passed over by a promotion. But what I want to tell you is don't be a quitter. Hang in there. Listen to the life of someone who overcame tremendous difficulty. He grew up on an isolated farm. He only had 1 year of formal education. In his early years, he was exposed to barely half a dozen books. At the age of 23, he lost his job and was defeated in the race for his state's legislature. At age 24, he failed in business. At 25, he was elected to the state legislature, but 1 year later, his sweetheart died, and at age 27, he had a nervous breakdown. At age 29, he was defeated for the Speaker of the House for the state legislature. At age 34, he was defeated for nomination for the U.S. House of Representatives. At 37, he was elected to the U.S. House, but 2 years later, he lost the renomination. At age 40, he was rejected for a federal land officer appointment, and at 45, he was defeated in a U.S. Senate race. At age 47, he was defeated for the nomination of vice president, and at 49 years of age, he was again defeated for the U.S. Senate. By human standards, shouldn't this person be looking for a different profession? But 2 years later, at the age of 51, Abraham Lincoln was elected president of the United States and is arguably the greatest president this nation has ever had. How humble his beginnings and how adverse the conditions and setbacks of his life. Lincoln declared, "Always bear in mind that your own resolution to success is more important than any other one thing." And then when you hear about his background and then you hear the quote, you realize he knows what he's talking about. Four non-negotiables: personal responsibility, prioritization, positive attitude, and overcome adversity. Graduate, be a man or woman of God that serves God through a life of excellence, at home and at work, in public and in private, through what you say and what you do. Love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Serve in your local church. Volunteer in your community. Shine your light through your creative talents. You have got gifts and talents that only God knows how He is going to use that. Don't allow that to be shortchanged one bit. Give it to God. Allow Him to do something. Stand for what is right in a culture that is pursuing, it seems, everything that is wrong. Expect great things from a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But don't just expect it. Then step out in faith and attempt something great in the name of that God who is so great. Allow God to use you in a significant way. Make a difference, class of 2013. Make a difference. God bless you. We love you. God bless you guys.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Class, give your speaker a hand tonight. Thank you. Gabriel Lawrence Boswell. Feel free to stand if you would like for your family. Your family stand for your graduate. Christian Olvera Castro. Sun Cheong from Korea. Faith Elizabeth Dickerson. Austin Ray Garcia. Thomas James Gutierrez. Patrick Wayne Hunt. Sophia Swell Key Kim. Travis Joel McFarland. Good job, Pam. You ought to see Coach in the huddle. You can't see Coach in the huddle. Yang Nguyen. Julia Danby O. Many of these parents are going to be watching in Korea and Vietnam tonight by streaming, so they get to see their kids graduate. Proud of you. Megan Danielle Owens. Sean Park. Samuel David Pletkowski. James Richard Lee Price. Charles Edward Ridings III. Daniel Selman. Elise Barbara Sheffield. William Sanford Shelton. Lauren Nicole Shields. I had the privilege of giving her mother her diploma. Sarah Nicole Smith. Chloe Walker. Courtney Elizabeth West. Jonathan Harrison Wilhoit. Crystal Nicole Williams. Miranda Elaine Walker. It's okay. Mackenzie Lee Williams. I handed Mackenzie's father her diploma, so it's wonderful. Do I remember everybody? Tonight, I would like to introduce to you the graduating class once again of 2013. Congratulations, graduates. So proud of you. So proud of you. It's been such a wonderful year. I've said more than one time I didn't want this year to end because it's been such a wonderful year. This has been a delightful group of young people. They've been a treasure all year long. They've been a joy all their academic lives. Some of them, like I said, we've had since they were in preschool. We're so thankful for them. I'm going to ask you, class, to stay seated for 1 second, and then we'll have our benediction. I'm going to ask that Pastor Sonia Dickerson come forward at this time. and close with benediction. Give us a closing benediction.
Let us bow in prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every other name, the name that is unrivaled in purity, in righteousness, and in power. It is because of that name that we meet in this room tonight. We are unashamedly call upon the name of Jesus Christ. For it is through him and him alone that we have access to salvation and eternal life. Father, we agree together as a congregation and we lift these graduates up to you in prayer. We pray that the peace of Christ would rule in their hearts. May they be aware of your tender mercies and relentless grace. May they also be obedient to your instruction to be holy as you are holy. We ask that you would guide them by your Holy Spirit and show them truth in every situation they may encounter in every season of life. We pray that these men and women will be firmly rooted and grounded in faith and overflowing with gratitude and thankfulness. We pray that they will see to it that no one takes them captive through vain philosophy and empty deception according to worldly principles rather than according to Christ. Lord, let them not be deceived by intellectual, godless double talk in the university setting, but let them remain anchored by the unchanging, absolute truth found in the Word of God. May your voice be louder and clearer than all others. We speak blessings over their lives. Any attempt of the enemy designed to alter the proper course for their lives will be defeated. Everything they set their hands to accomplish will prosper. They will be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. They will be blessed coming in and blessed going out. God's blessing will be upon their children, their finances, their workplaces, their careers, and their families. They will have favor everywhere they go. Their lives will be marked by character, humility, and integrity. They will not be moved by changing winds of doctrine or theory, but they will hold steady and be strong in the Lord, firmly proclaiming God's truth and love. God's blessing will be upon them all the days of their lives. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Dickerson. I'm going to thank our speaker yet one more time. And Southwestern University is a wonderful university, not too far from here in Waxahachie if you want to keep your kids close to home. And he's at all the ball games, and I see him. Every time I go down there, he's amongst the students. He's a hands-on university president, so we highly recommend it. This place, Southwestern. At this time, seniors, will you stand?
We've been made.
God bless you.
More than conquerors. Overcomers in this life. We've been
up to something back there, but I know they know I hold their final transcript, so they won't let me down. We don't truly graduate till that's in their hand. They never let me down. You're going to miss these guys. You're all invited to a lovely reception that's hosted by our junior parents over at the school. And please come, and there's memory tables and good food, and just come and have a good time with us and celebrate the victorious night. God bless you, and thank you again for coming. Been a wonderful audience. Congratulations one more time, class of 2013.